You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, the government released their first national adaptation framework for adapting to climate change. The announcement highlights the risk those in Aotearoa face regarding climate-related disasters and harms, such as floods or storms, as climate change gets worse. This comes alongside a focus on ensuring that Aotearoa's economy is able to withstand, handle, and grow in the face of these risks. While this is a positive step, there remain concerns about how adaptation fits in, whether this plan covers all bases, and what still needs to be done. I spoke to Principal Scientist at Earth Science New Zealand, Dr. Nick Craddock-Henry, about the framework, its strengths, and its drawbacks. To get us started, what exactly does this framework entail?
So the framework kind of outlines 16 actions that the government is going to be taking in order to help us prepare for the impacts and implications of climate change. So the first is kind of, there's four main sort of pillars around sort of improving risk and response information sharing, clarifying roles and responsibilities, investing in risk reduction, and then sort of looking at cost sharing, so pre and post event cost sharing. I think in a lot of ways it provides kind of an important and necessary first step, but there's certainly a lot of work still to be done, both in terms of the science. So one of the key actions, for example, is developing a national flood map, due sort of 2027. So there's still a lot of science to be done, for sure, as well as, I think, probably some work to be done around clarifying exactly how some of this is going to be paid for.
And why is this adaptation framework so desperately needed?
The framework is needed because we have seen the accelerating impacts of climate change here in Aotearoa. One doesn't have to look too far back to see how the economic as well as social and livelihood implications of events like the Auckland Anniversary Floods, Cyclone Gabrielle, more frequent and prolonged drought conditions affecting primary industries. These things have a very material effect. So they cost lives, they cost in terms of livelihoods, as well as disruption to critical infrastructure and systems that we rely on every day. So there's definitely a growing need to manage these risks better, to try to reduce current and future economic losses and minimize disruption. But I think it's also necessary because climate change will also create opportunities, and that's probably the sort of the flip side of adaptation that we maybe don't often recognize, is that it will create opportunities, but we have to be in the right position, we have to be prepared. We have to anticipate and identify these opportunities in advance, opportunities both to avoid future losses, so there's an avoided losses component, but also there may be opportunities in terms of land use change. I think there's also an opportunity if we, as a relatively small country, can demonstrate how to adapt successfully, I think that both makes us attractive to overseas investment. It's a safe place to invest because we have processes and systems in place that will minimize disruption and guarantee a return on investment. But I think also if we develop effective tools, if we can develop effective governance and decision-making processes, that also can help us demonstrate, to the rest of the world how successful and effective adaptation can work in real life.
And in terms of how the framework itself wants to play out, you highlighted some question marks about like the economic side and the science side. Could you walk us a little bit more through what these question marks are?
Yeah, I'm probably best placed to speak on the science side. I think the clear economics question is the framework kind of points to pre and post event cost sharing. However, there's a lot, currently adaptation is the responsibility of local councils. Local councils have very limited means to raise revenue, basically limited to rates. We see already the significant pressure on rates in terms of needing to maintain and invest in existing infrastructure and refresh existing infrastructure, let alone make significant new investments in any protective adaptation measures that may be preferable or that may be required, such as levees, seawalls, and the like. So there is still a significant question in the framework around where the cost will actually sit and how that will be resourced. That's probably a question for the economists and the policymakers. On the science side, however, I think that, yes, the science, you know, the effectiveness or the quality of these adaptation plans for priority areas. So the framework identify, or the framework makes it clear that there will be priority areas, yeah, that councils need to develop adaptation plans for in the first instance. The National Flood Map will essentially integrate existing information that may be held by local councils. So some local councils have more and less resourcing in terms of being able to develop local flood maps. We'll combine that with national scale data on riverine and coastal flooding to connect all of those models and all of that data in a comprehensive and meaningful way. So essentially those models will be able to talk to each other, and then we will have nationally consistent flood data, which is important for decision making. I think the other thing is that's really important is that scientific information, so that scientific information needs to be credible, it needs to be very robust, so it will go through obviously the normal processes of scientific validation, peer review, etc. So it will be high quality information, but I think it's still important that local decision makers and local communities will need to still have confidence that information is a fair and accurate representation of their own situations. So I think there's a scientific question involved, but there's also, I think, going to be a social issue in that science will need to be trusted, it'll need to be transparent, and it'll be necessary that it reflects both local and national priorities.
And in terms of that science and the framework's obvious focus on adaption, what sort of areas are missing from this? And what do you want to see kind of come alongside this framework?
Oh, I think the biggest issue for me is, absolutely. I think first of all, adaptation and mitigation, we need to think of them as a sort of a unified response. And we can't simply sort of, rob Peter to pay Paul, as it were. So I think we need to continue to both aggressively pursue meaningful reductions in greenhouse gas emissions, because if we don't, we will be required to adapt even more. So the more we can reduce those greenhouse gas emissions and ultimately slow the rate at which warming happens, the more effective our adaptation responses will be. So I think that's the first thing, is we need to kind of not see them as binaries or as in opposition, but actually they are complementary. Second, I think the adaptation framework is really only going to be as good as the extent to which it leads to effective action. So I think the framework really does provide the building blocks for a national approach, but unless we act on it, it's simply a framework. So I think that the science can absolutely describe the likely impacts and implications of climate change and help design with effective adaptation strategies. However, I think there's absolutely still a role for policy to decide what to do with that information, and there's a need for communities, for households, for businesses to understand the risk and then to actually turn any adaptation plans into meaningful action. I think ultimately an enduring framework alone isn't enough. I think there's still going to be a need for science to continue to inform ongoing action and investment. as conditions change. But I do think that this is a welcome first step.
That was Principal Scientist at Earth Sciences New Zealand, Dr. Nick Craddock-Henry, on the government's new National Adaptation Framework.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.